Here are several fine young men who I'm sure are gonna go far. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ramones.
Ah, these minstrels will soothe my jangled nerves.
I'd just like to say this gig sucks.
Hey, up yours, Springfield.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hell, you old bastard.
Hey, I think they liked us.
Have the Rolling Stones killed.
Oh, sir, those aren't...
Do as I say.
Hey there, I hear it's your birthday. How old are you?
Well, I...
That's great. Would you like us to sing you a special song?
Hell no.
You got it. Ready, Senor Beaverati?
I'm a ready. And a one, and a two.
You're the birthday, you're the birthday, you're the birthday, boy or girl.
Lisa, it's your birthday. God bless you this day. You gave me the gift of a little sister, and I'm proud of you today. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. I wish you love and goodwill. I wish you praise and joy.
I wish you better than your heart desires.
And your first kiss from a boy. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to an all-new episode of Tall Can Sports, falling on the fourth anniversary of the start of the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. Joined today, as we have been for most of these 4 years, at least from time to time, your boy Matty Lang. What's happening, man?
Still riding that high from our big Raptor victory on Sunday night.
Man.
So I felt like that was Kawhi's happy birthday present.
That, hey, we'll take it. We'll take it. You know what? This has been pretty cool. You were on the show last year during the third anniversary. We kind of made a bunch of Rob and I in studio. We phoned our regulars, right? I think we had you, we had Amy Burke, we had Jill McSween, we had a bunch of people on the show. We've done a few different things, but this year, the way it fell, man, this was something that we absolutely had to get in and talk about. We're going to get into the Kawhi shot. The shot, everyone knows exactly what you're talking about. We're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming matchup with the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, as the Raptors are going to get that going. A couple other things we're going to touch on, man. But do I have this right? Because I have a hard time remembering sort of where everybody checked in. And I'm pretty sure your first appearance on the show was that very first summer. And we sat up at my cottage with one microphone, but like 17 cables running everywhere, and on this one tiny little table that was like, okay, I can set my beer here, but there's like four cables over here, and there was me, you, and Holly, and we did a bunch of different, we did a couple different things. Only one of them survived. I don't remember what exactly.
I remember that. I remember doing two podcasts in the basement of your parents' old cottage.
That's right.
And I remember it being a poor setup, not because of the wires.
Sure.
But because the beer fridge was so far away.
No, it did not work well. And that was, for people who listen who are into podcasting themselves, we had a Blue Yeti microphone running, which is kind of your entry-level thing. And we had it set on this new mode that you'd figured out and you could set it to that would, like, collect from all sides and it would allow you to have more than one person or two people on it. But it also collects every single little echo and setting of a beer can down on the desk, everything, man. And I look back on those shows. I think I'm going to share the link again at facebook.com/TallCanAudio and at TallCanAudio, the first ever podcast we did as well. I can't listen to it. It's so, it just makes me so uncomfortable. But we're still using that same microphone for that first show when you jump in and the sound quality, and it's just, we've come a long way, man. You've been up to the last TCA studio we had. We've got another new one going with some more upgrades. We can't wait to actually get you in house again for that one. But we've come a long way, my man.
Yeah, I mean, definitely from the last one, the last studio was at way better setup,
sure.
Way better sound quality. The acoustics definitely have gotten better as you've been doing this a little bit more and investing a little more time and energy into it. So, congratulations on the big 4 years, man. I'll tell you how I know you've gotten so much better at this whole thing is that first day, you, I, and Holly recorded two shows.
Yeah.
And in the one we were talking, it was just after the Blue Jays made all those moves.
Yep.
To go get everybody back in 20.
Yeah, that 2015 summer.
15, thank
Tulo
you.
Tulo and Price and the often forgotten LaTroy Hawkins was brought
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah.
Ben Revere.
And I remember you and I being pretty happy about it.
Yep.
And Holly was the one that said, I think they win the East.
Yep.
And I always remember Holly still being upset about the fact that that was the one episode you lost.
It's true.
She's always looking for credit for
yep.
calling that
yep.
months in advance.
Yeah, you and I were both, I think they're going to go on a bit of a run. Maybe they can grab the wild card. And no, you're right. Full credit. She's like, no, they're taking the East. Like, I don't
like
know.
Like, you're crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Sure enough, it's exactly what happened. And the episode did not survive. Yeah, we did two shows, and one did not make it. And that was entirely due to my own technical inabilities and whatever. So as we roll along now, I'm just back from Halifax, Nova Scotia. And behind security at Halifax Stanfield International Airport, they have a really cool idea, and it's called Liquid Assets. And it's a store that sells nothing but local maritime beers, wines, ciders, liquors. It's all local, and it's sort of meant to be, you know, if you've rolled into town, you found something you liked, you can kind of stop and grab it on your way out. And
that's a fantastic idea.
It's perfect, man. It's perfect. And our pal, who's also contributed to this show a bunch of times, Amy Burke, she's not coming home from Halifax until Wednesday night, May 15th, and I came home on Sunday. So I stopped in there. I have her stopping as she goes as well to try and grab some more stuff from the studio for the studio. So that'll be her little birthday gift, the Tall Can Audio Network. But tonight, I've got a couple of, this is from the Big Spruce Brewing Company out of, and I tried to call Amy. You and I are sitting here. It's just about 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock here, 10 o'clock there. What the hell time is it, man?
I don't even know what time. It's 9:30 okay. here, so it's,
all right,
we're
so,
not even close.
Okay, no. So it was after 10 her time because she's still out in Halifax. And I phoned,
right.
I have no idea if she's still up or what the hell she's doing. But I'm looking at this town, and I have no idea how to pronounce it. It's Nyanza, Nova Scotia. So Nyanza or who the fuck knows. But it's she's an East Coast hillbilly. She's from Charlottetown. I figured she'd recognize the name and she could tell me how to pronounce it, but she didn't answer the goddamn phone. So whatever. But this is, it's an oatmeal stout called Serial Killer from the Big Spruce Brewing Company in Nyanza, Nova Scotia. That's what I'm riding with. That's what I'm doing on the birthday show. What do you got going tonight, Matt?
I actually have a dark beer myself today. So I've got Black Coal Stout from Railway City Brewing Company out in St. Thomas, Ontario.
Dude, I don't know if we've talked about it or not, but that is a personal favorite of mine.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and it, for a while, was really hard to find up here to the point one of the athletes I coach, born and raised in St. Thomas, Ontario, and her mom would often come and watch her compete, and I would have to text her mom before the tournament. I was like, hey, if you could stop in and grab a couple of the Black
Coal
Stout. Yeah, I love that
good
beer.
Good to know.
Yeah, and it started to spread across the province. It's a little easier to find now, but man, I've loved that one for a couple of years. It's really good, so I'm glad to see you're on board with it as well. Is this the first time you're trying it?
This is actually, I thought it was my first time trying it.
And then the Untappd app reminds you that it's
yeah, reminded me that I had tried it before. And you know, maybe I grabbed this and I grabbed another one that's a copper IPA or copper ale as my second one. But got a tweet from Tony Frazier.
Oh.
Who said, hey, well, looking for a new stout or porters and dark drink. So, you know, what could you recommend? So I think it was in the back of my mind as I was picking some stuff up, and hopefully we'll have some good reviews for him based on what we're both drinking today.
Well, Tony's listened for quite a while. He's been with us from pretty much day one. I recognize the name. Obviously, we know Tony around here. So glad he's checking in and looking for suggestions from some of our people. But yeah, we're both drinking something dark today. And yeah. Both, so it's the Black Coal Stout from Railway City Brewing that you've got going on. I've got the, Serial Killer Stout from the Big Spruce Brewing Company. So a couple of real nice stouts there. I shouldn't speak for you. Mine's going down real nice. What do you think so far?
I'm actually liking this. So, you know, funny enough, so I check in Untappd, and I had it ranked as a 3 out of 5, which is kind of like I'll drink it,
yeah,
but I probably won't go back to it.
Yep.
I'm enjoying it a lot better. And for everybody who knows, we actually had some tweets going out from some old athletes I used to treat who reminded me the other day that they really enjoy seeing the Untappd tweets go out.
Okay.
Because they like to see what everybody's drinking and what we're ranking them. So
yeah.
My tweet today was a lot better than I remember.
Okay, nice.
So maybe who knows what mood I was in or what I was drinking it with last time as far as food, but as a standalone, this is fantastic.
So we mentioned this most of the time. Maddie and I will both make sure our beers that we're enjoying tonight, sometimes it's, you know, if you're driving or whatever's going on, hard to remember exactly what they are, but we post them at Tall Can Audio on Instagram. So you can check it out there. And, you know, if you forget the next day, oh, that one sounded good or whatever, you can go back and find them there. Also, you can give I posted something sometime on Tuesday evening, to shout out the Liquid Assets store at the Nova Scotia or Halifax Airport. So, they're interacting with us a little bit as well. They gave us a follow, as did the Big Spruce Brewing Company. So, you can check them out there as well if that's your thing. Man,
you know what's great? Just before we move off that,
yeah.
It's been, oh god, maybe about 3 years now since I've been through Halifax, and I do got to get back sometime this summer. But it is a small little airport.
It is.
I mean, it's probably not too small for most people, but anybody who grew up in southern Ontario, you go through Pearson Airport quite a bit. You forget, or you just don't know how big of an airport Pearson is until you really travel.
Right.
And but Halifax is small. And the only thing I can really remember about it last time I went through was you had the one pub kind of just before you go through security. So
I may have spent some time there on Sunday afternoon.
I'd be lying if I said Maritime Ale House. That's it, yeah.
Yeah. So we checked in, me and one guy, there's a group of us out there, and so we're getting ready to fly back. And some of them have to walk back to the hotel to catch the shuttle, but there's not going to be room for all of us in the shuttle. So I'm like, well, fuck it. I'll call a cab and I grab one of the other guys and he'll come with us. And, well, do you want to just come back to the hotel? And call it from there? I'm like, no, I'm not walking like 20 minutes to call a cab from over there. I'll just fucking call it here. So we're way ahead of the other group when we got to the airport. And so we checked in and said, you know, before we go through security, you know, we want to wait for the other guys before we check through. As long as there's a place to have a couple of beers on this side, otherwise we're going through because we know there is on the other side.
Yeah.
And, she said, if you go to the other end of the food court, there's a place, Maritime Ale House, no problem. You know, you'll have a couple of beers there. Perfect. Off we went. And, so my buddy texts me as they're getting close to the airport and, said, did you check through or where are you? I said, let us know when you're checked in and we'll settle up and come meet you and check through security. Otherwise, you know, we're just having a couple of beers here. And so as he's checking in, I guess he was at the same desk. And so he talks to somebody and he mentions to one of the other guys that's with him, I'll text Matt and see where they are. I'm sure they're having beers somewhere. And the girl who was working the desk, remember, she's like, you mean Matt Robinson? He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, I sent him over to the Maritime Ale House. It's beside the subway. So he didn't even text me again. They just turned around. They're walking in and bellying up to the bar too. And we spent some time there. So God bless the people at the Halifax Airport. We had
that's East Coast hospitality right there.
For
right?
Sure. And we were having on that night sitting there was a coffee. What was it called? I don't even remember, but it was from the Lunenburg Coffee Stout was what it was called. And, but it was an offshoot of Keith's, which no reason to hold it against them, but it's not craft really, right? So, but we were enjoying those and went through, and then yeah, we checked through security and went through this liquid assets and picked up a bunch of stuff there too. So,
well, now there's one last thing to say then, Matt.
Yeah, yeah.
And this has always been a point of contention, but just having come back from Halifax, does Alexander Keith's taste different in Halifax than it does here in Ontario?
I can honestly tell you, I have no idea. Because that's the only thing from Alexander Keith's I drank the whole time I was there.
So. Okay, look at you.
And I'd never had it before. So, you know what? I want to thank anybody who might be listening. We put out on our Twitter and on our Instagram before I went, at Tall Can Audio on both accounts. Can you suggest anything? Whether you're from the East Coast, whether you've been there, what would you suggest in terms of craft stuff when you get to Halifax? What should I try? Where should I go? The number of responses that we got was awesome, right? And it, a bunch of them were like, oh, I don't know myself, but talk to this guy, and then that guy would respond, right? And they all wanted to get in on giving recommendations and stuff. So that's one great. Of the redeeming qualities of Twitter, which is normally just a cesspool of bullshit. But you put something like that out there, man, and people come through. And so we got to try some cool stuff. And I don't know if all of them are listeners to the show. I know some of them are. They came through with some awesome recommendations, whether it be for specific breweries or just pubs to go that specialized in craft beers. We really appreciate you getting back to us. So I can't tell you for sure that Keith's tastes any different out there than it does here. But, you know, I know I got to try a couple of different things. And so
great.
Last thing before we move on to the main event, I mentioned our pal Amy a little while ago, who'd better goddamn stop and get me something as she comes to Liquid Assets on Wednesday night. Amy, as most people know, is a Paralympic athlete. She took last season off to have a kid, and she's worked her ass off all year this year to battle her way back and try and get ready to compete for her Ontario team and for Team Canada coming up this summer. She made it back. She worked real hard. And just before Canadian Championships, about 2 weeks out, suffered a concussion in practice and kept everything real tight to the vest. Wasn't talking much about it other than to her coaching staff and whatever. And, went through protocol, all that stuff, and managed to get eased back in by Saturday morning of Canadian Championships this past weekend in Halifax. We'll pull the veil back just a little bit. I coach Amy in that scenario, so I was involved in helping to, you know, when is it safe to come back in? What do we do here to... But she managed to get back and get playing. She assisted her team on Sunday to get back and win a 12th straight national championship for Ontario and was awarded tournament MVP for the work she did throughout the weekend. So congratulations to Amy Burke on... man, just a pile of work to get herself back and ready and just hit the ground running at the right time despite some hard luck just beforehand. So kudos to you, Amy.
Yeah, great athlete. And it's, you know, always amazing to see women come back after having kids.
Honestly, man.
Because a lot of them just don't have the opportunity.
Right? Yeah. It's a radical change. She's had a kid before, so she says she felt a little more prepared in terms of knowing what to expect, but it's still the same amount of work, right? That you know you got to put in and even more in some cases to get back. And then at the last minute, the concussion to have to battle through. We're really proud of Amy and the work she put in, obviously with her teammates, but to be acknowledged again as tournament MVP just kind of puts that exclamation point on the work she did to get back. So
that's a good story.
Awesome. We got a couple of things to touch on here, man. Why don't we start with Sunday night? Because that's sort of what centered everything up here. The Raptors and Sixers go seven, which you promised me it wouldn't, by the way, in terms of keeping my stress levels down. But you managed to be in the building for game seven when Kawhi hits the shot. Now, I know
the shot.
There's some people saying we can't call it that because Michael had the shot. But I don't know what else to call this. By now, everyone knows what we're referring to. It bounces four or five times before finally dropping in. For you, let's just start here because the Raps have been to the conference finals before, but this is, to me, still exercises some demons, maybe going all the way back to 2001 when the Raptors are playing the Sixers and Vince misses his shot. as a more tied into the Raptors culture guy than I am, does this exercise those demons? Does it mean anything at all? Obviously, all the players, all the coaches, everything is completely different. But for the fan base, does it mean something?
Well, I'll take it even farther back for you here, Matt. I mean, keeping with that 2001 season, and you know, you might have missed this having been in Nova Scotia and obviously being very busy with your team there. I think it was TSN that actually put this together. But back in 2001, it was Philly. It was the Raptors. It was Game 7.
It was the game that graduation day.
It was graduation day game. And you know the team they that Philadelphia played in the Eastern Conference Final?
New Jersey Nets.
Nope, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Really?
Yeah. So
I'm sure it was the Nets, huh? Fuck.
18 years later, for the chance against those two teams playing.
Yeah.
To you know, to play the Bucks going into that you know, in the Eastern Conference Final. The only difference being this was in Toronto, not in Philadelphia.
Right.
And I mean that was the theme going in. And people were talking about it at the game. You know, when you got to the game, this was something you were overhearing in the beer line. You were overhearing just walking through security how this had come back around 18 years later. Nobody expected it to go down to the last shot. And a shot that mimicked so closely the original
Vince shot. Yeah.
Does that exercise demons? I think it does, because at that point it was – you know, the Raptors were the young upstart team and franchise that kind of came out of nowhere so quickly and had made all the right moves.
When Vince had burst onto the scene at the dunk competition, right? And he's a big star. But you're right. That was as far as it got. And it was like, well, that was a fun story. And now we'll move on with the real stuff. And they never got back there.
That's it. They never were able to replicate that success, no matter who they added or what they tried to do. And maybe at the time they had given up on a couple pieces too quickly, unfortunately, and made some bad decisions over time. But the Raptors had then become the cursed team, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The team that could never quite put it together. And listen, making it back to the Eastern Conference Finals for a second time in 4 years may not necessarily eradicate all the bad juju going on in the franchise, but I think it goes a long way to changing that narrative, because this is a team that, and whether it's a one player or a team itself, that had to overcome quite a bit through this series. And the Raptors have just never been the team to make this shot. And given games they've, you know, game sevens they've won, they've never been, you know, they've always been games where they've been in the lead.
Yeah.
And they just had to hang on.
Yeah.
They never had to make that shot, which is something that most teams, most franchises have that moment. So, you know, everybody keeps talking about, even in the US, this is the defining franchise moment now.
That's right. That's right.
And to me, I'm like 100% it is, because my argument was always, stop saying, you know, Vince Carter had the defining moment, because his defining moment was in a dunk competition, for God's sake. There was nobody defending him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, his teammate gave him the ball to put it in the net.
Yeah.
And it was a great moment, but it's not a franchise defining moment.
No.
This is a team defining moment.
That's an NBA moment. That's not really a Raptors moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, when you look at this, you've obviously followed this team forever. You were in the building the night that it happened. Does it, because the Raptors have been to the conference final, I guess my question is, there are people on Twitter that would suggest that because this isn't as far as the franchise has ever made it, right? They've been to the conference final before, and because the game was tied, it's not like they were losing and made the shot to win. If they had missed the shot, it goes to overtime. You know, you can kind of peck away at this, right? That maybe this is very Toronto to get excited about something that isn't, you know, those Leafs that made the conference finals, right? And we celebrate those teams. But in terms of moment, this has to be the biggest for the Raptors team. Even if it's not the biggest accomplishment, it's for sure the biggest moment, right?
Yeah, you know, even I'll go back a little bit on that, man. We've had this discussion before. I mean, making the conference final is a thing, right?
Yeah.
In the NCAA basketball playoffs, making the Final Four is something people hang banners for.
Oh, for sure.
Right? Because this is, listen, only one team can win, right? And I know it's that, you know, stating the obvious, but when you got 30 plus
teams and only one team can win, you have to celebrate, and you should be celebrating making it to the at least the final two, obviously, but definitely the final four, because I think it's such a huge accomplishment within such a huge and long season.
Right.
Okay. This is still a thing to be celebrated. And for a team that's been around, the Raptors, what is, we're going to season 25, I think, next year.
Yep.
24, 25, whatever it is. This is the second time they've done it. You know?
Yeah.
That is a long time. So, you know, people make fun of Leaf fans for getting to the conference final. I don't get that. That's just Toronto biased and Toronto hate for no real reason, realistically. I still think it's an accomplishment from a sporting perspective, from a fan perspective. Now, should it be undersold because it's a second round game? No, because this is the first time in a game seven there was a game-winning shot at the buzzer that was made.
Well, and the one before this, right, was Michael. But it was a best of five, right?
Yep.
So that had to be first round. And we still talk about that one because it's a killer shot, right? It's unbelievable that happens. This is the first time this has ever happened in a game seven, a buzzer beating shot to win a game seven. And it happens to the Toronto Raptors, the perennial lovable losers, right? Who,
yes,
they're a good team and we the North and look at their fans. That's so fun. But when we get down to brass tacks, they won't be around, right? It'll be just the serious guys left. And here they are. It bounced their way.
Yeah, and I get it if this is, you know, if this wins, here's a comparison. Like Roberto Alomar hitting that home run against Eckersley.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Great moment. I mean, it didn't finish the game, and it was in game four or five or whatever
game five,
that was.
I think, yeah, in the 92 ALCS.
Still a great moment.
Yep.
But you lose some appeal because it's not a game, like a true game clinching and a series clinching moment.
Right.
And I do think you lose something, and you have to appreciate anybody who says, oh, well, you know, people get tight in game sevens and all that. But then you can't come back and say, well, it means less because it's only a game, a second round.
Yeah.
Game seven. If you just said game sevens are so goddamn important.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you can't have it both ways just because it's the Raptors. You want to change the narrative now. This was a huge freaking deal for the Toronto Raptors. This was a huge deal for Kawhi.
If you've been on social media at all, it's like, here's the shot synced to the Avengers theme. Here's the shot synced to the Titanic theme.
Which was one of my favorites, was when they synced it to the Marvel one was amazing.
And
just fantastic.
I've played these on a few different things before. My favorite version of this, and we've done it a few times on the show, and I'm going to drop it in here. And courtesy to James G on Twitter, it's at JamesNTO. You should give him a follow. It's at Blue Jays Voices is his SoundCloud account. But he goes around for any big Toronto sports moment and collects the audio from all the different broadcasts. So the radio from both sides, the TV from both sides, the national broadcast. In this one, we've got voices from Korea. We've got voices from Brazil and Argentina. We've got like the world calls on all these things. And my favorite one has always been, after Sidney Crosby scores the Olympic goal in 2010, and you can hear England calling the goal, and you can hear whatever, right? And so I love these sorts of things. And like I said, it's James G at James and T.O. If you want to follow on Twitter, he's put together this one from the Kawhi call.
Kyle and Siakam screen for Leonard. Leonard has it out top. Leonard against Ben Simmons. 2 seconds to go. Kawhi Leonard hangs. Fire shot up. It rims and it rims. And it went in. Toronto wins 92-90. Are you kidding me? Unreal. The Sixers season is over.
Kawhi up top. Looks at the clock. Turns a corner for the win. Hanging in the air, the ball suspended in air.
Raptors, here we go. They get it to Leonard. Drives right down to the baseline. Fall away for the win. Got it! It hit four rims and went down. Kawhi Leonard's shot went up in the air. It hit the rim. It bounced on the rim before going through the bucket. Toronto wins 92-90.
Hands off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Gasol, que vai fazer a reposição, sempre buscando ele. Kawhi, com certeza ele vai tentar o chute. Kawhi Leonard foi para a zona morta, para o arremesso! Vitória espetacular do Toronto! Com drama, com choro! Que vitória do Toronto com Kawhi Leonard!
눈을 뗄 수 없는 명경기가 펼쳐지고 있습니다. 웨터스의 공격. 가솔 레너드에게 시간 떨어집니다. 3초, 2초, 1초 레너드 들어.
카와이 레너드.
와, 믿을 수가 없습니다. 들어갔어요. 들어갑니다.
와, 시리즈를 이런 샷으로 끝냅니다. 카와이
레너드. It's terrific, right, to get this thing, and you get this feel for how big this is everywhere, where the Toronto Raptors are the center of attention, and that just doesn't happen that often, and you have to be willing to enjoy that moment and kind of, you know, accept that it happens. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with Raptors fans enjoying this, because even in those years where, you know, we had DeMar and Kyle, and the team looked pretty good, and they would get to the conference finals, and we all knew what LeBron was about to do. And this time, it just feels different, right? Because Kawhi is who he is, and you have the ability to go into any series feeling like you might have the best guy in the series, right? And I don't know, we'll get to the conference final shortly, whether or not Raptors fans feel that way in that series, but certainly in the 76ers series, it's a big deal in the NBA, right? Like to have the best guy, and at the end of the day, it's all going to come down to him, and you get to feel confident when he throws it up. Even if it does some crazy shit like it did in this circumstance, we had the guy, and very rarely is that the case. Very rarely have we had the guy.
You know what? The shot is still iconic if he just walks down the court and hits the shot.
Yeah.
The fact that he had to run all the way around Ben Simmons, that he had to deal with Joel Embiid playing the best defense he did all series.
Yeah.
Falls back as he takes a shot. It's still iconic. But the fact that it rattled off the rim.
Well, and you can hear in all of those clips that I just played, right, where from all those broadcasts, you can hear every broadcaster goes, and it's up, dunk, 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 dunk. Yeah, right before they react. You can hear it on all those broadcasts, that thud. If you go back and listen again, and you've said it, 2.5 decades, that thud has gone the wrong way for Raptors fans. And this
exactly.
time, it went in while the world was watching.
And it just, again, with the narrative of what the Raptors have been and the way that shot went in, and just, I'll be honest, watching it live with 4 seconds left, you know, is there 4.2 seconds or something like that? You kind of, all right, here comes the play call, and you're like, okay, everybody knows it's going to Kawhi, obviously. And it goes to him, and you can see the defense move on him. And as he ends up in the corner, and he just, you know, you know the shot has to go, right?
It almost looks like he's trying to turn it in. And I know he's not, but he's trying to turn it into a redo of the Vince shot, right? Like, this is how you do it as he moves over there, like, right?
Don't you, like, pay attention, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And now, you know, anybody who follows us on Instagram knows, like, we posted that video of the shot
so
going in.
So, Matty Lang, I don't think we've mentioned this yet. We talked before the show. I don't think we mentioned it yet.
We haven't, you're right. Huh?
Matty Lang was at the game, and because he is just like the rest of us in 2019, that's like, something big might be about to happen. I should run my camera. And he does, and he has a terrific view of the shot based on how it all sets up and comes around. And so he has a video, which he's posted on our Instagram, at Tall Can Audio, of how it went down in the building and that instant crowd reaction. Man, it's crazy. And like I said, you can check it out on his Instagram. It's at Matt Does Physio. It's on our Instagram at Tall Can Audio. but to be in the building. Sorry, I cut you off, but I wanted to let people know why, you know, we're here.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, I'm sure everybody who's listening to this has seen 10 different versions of it. The one thing I'd say about, you know, go back and watch that version, because I set the camera up and watching him go from right to left as he's coming down towards the bucket, and the shot then goes back left to right. And as the ball bounces off the rim, I actually start to turn. Because I'm just in my head being like,
exit?
Like yeah, well, just going, here we go, here's yeah, overtime.
Yeah.
And then it takes that bounce where it just suspends in the air.
Yeah.
And that's that moment where you hear all the announcers, whether it's in French or Korean or online or whatever it is. And
Portuguese, Spanish, yeah, man, everybody's hitting it.
It's that pause.
Yeah.
And you can hear it on the video because it's full sound.
Yep.
And then just the explosion.
It's wild, man.
While being there live, of just how everybody just lost their damn minds.
Yeah.
Because, again, you just don't expect this to happen to us at home on national TV.
That's right. Right. And forget about the Raptors thing. Forget about Canada. Forget about all the... Like I mentioned, this is the first time a Game 7 in NBA history has been decided. I know that seems unbelievable because of how many games and how many clutch shots we've seen. This is the first time a Game 7 in NBA playoff history has ever ended on a buzzer beater like that, and it happens to the Toronto Raptors. It's so big, right? This was everywhere across North America, and we have this thing as Toronto sports fans where we feel like they're not watching, or this is everyone was watching. This was big. And even here in Canada, where the Raptors fan base is still sometimes known as a little bit niche, this was by far the most watched NBA game in history in Canada, with a 2.15 rating. That's over 2 million people. Those are not numbers that the Raptors are used to drawing. And it peaked at almost 4 million during that shot. People were engaged in this, and I don't know what's going to happen. We can talk about that maybe later on with Kawhi down the road. Will he stay? Will he go? But what that moment did will live forever in Raptors history. And you can never again play the Vince clip of him throwing it up and missing without following it with the Kawhi clip of him throwing it up and and making it, right?
Yeah, I think that's it, right? It changes that narrative of
lovable loser.
Lovable losers, yep. or just losers.
Sure, sure.
Quite frankly.
Yeah. No, it's true, man. And it's kind of sprung this conversation. And this, I texted you before we went on the air and said to give this a little thought. You know, where this fits on the pantheon of Canadian sports moments. And we can talk about Bill Parilko back in 1951 or whatever, right? We can talk about the 48 Leafs or whatever it was that came back from 3-0. Those are accomplishments more than they're moments. And to be fair, you and I weren't around in 1951. But when you start to look at moments in Toronto sports history, you start to think about the bat flip, right, with Bautista. You start to think about Austin Matthews' four-goal game against the Sens, or you even mentioned, and you're not the first to do so, the ping pong balls falling that had him land as a Leaf, right? Like, but this is one that happens on court in a big moment when the world is watching and goes our way. I'm curious what other moments kind of land for you, whether you were there or not, how you remember them or not. You know, accomplishment versus moment, you know, these sorts of things. But where does this fit in the pantheon of Toronto sports moments?
I think this goes for me. There's three things, and this is the now, you know, there's the trinity of sports moments in Toronto history. It's the bat flip.
Yeah.
It's the shot. And it's Joe Carter's touch 'em all Joe.
Yeah.
Like those are because they all were, I mean, I can't say Jose's was series ending because it happened in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
Or eighth inning. I believe it was the seventh, though.
Yes, it was.
You know what? It, it
game had five in the ALDS, right?
So, and it was ALDS. Again,
second round versus, yeah, the, you know.
Again, what? It's the, I think it was the moment that was created for that home run to be hit.
Yep.
Right. And yes, it wasn't the thing that turned the game off for everybody, but the way that if everybody who remembers that game, how that all played out, right?
Yeah.
How there was that throw from Russ Martin that turned into an error or stolen home base or whatever it was.
Like Shinsu Chu or somebody who was staying at the play. Yeah.
And then the beers getting thrown on the field and then the half hour delay and then the errors all happening for Texas. And then the setup for the guy, right? For Jose.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have happened to more of the guy who stuck with that team through all the good and bad.
It's true.
And there was a very iconic moment of just the fuck you-ness of that, essentially, right? Which was very different than Joe Carter hitting that home run back in 93.
Joe Carter's is really interesting to me, and I agree with you because as a moment, it's hard to be bigger. Walk off World Series hitting, you know, home run. We don't see that in MLB, but it's not the first World Series, right? That's an Otis Nixon bunt to Mike Timlin that gets thrown to first in 92. Yeah. And that's a shitty moment, right? Like, it's successful and it's the first, but, and credit to the Steve Dangle podcast who talked about this the other day. He's like, we look back almost like Joe Carter won both of those World Series with that one home run, right? Because the other one kind of sucks, right? Like, we won the World Series, but it's really in a boring way. It's on a bunt that you just lob to first. And so it's interesting, right? I don't know that the Leafs even fit into the equation right now. Like, I loved the Matthews lottery win. I loved his four-goal game. We keep getting eliminated in the first round, so those are hard to pin down, you know. But it's hard. The one that maybe on a lower key version, I felt like we hosted the Centennial Classic there at BMO Outdoors and Matthews scores the overtime winner. That felt like a turning of the page from the shitty old Leafs to things are going to be different now. But not like this. Not like this, right? Not like Kawhi. Not like Bautista. The other one that stands out to me is Encarnacion in the wild card game, but I mean, even that game didn't exist 5 years ago. So how does that fit into the second round versus, you know, you hit it and they should have gone to Britain and they didn't, and he golfs it out and you're excited and it's a huge moment, but you're like, is this even a real game? Like, should this even be a thing?
Yeah. And I, to be honest, I've even forgotten about that Edwin shot.
Yeah. The 16. Yeah.
A couple years later, you're like, oh yeah, kind of missed that one again. Right. Right?
Yeah.
I would say I'd add one going back a couple years. I mean, we were very young when it happened, and it was just to win a playoff game in overtime was Doug Gilmore behind the net against Curtis Joseph. Yeah. That
Solo
certainly has
job.
Some. Yeah, that had some long lasting appeals for I think a lot of us growing up.
How about Harold? How about in terms of great moments for Toronto sports teams? Harold Ballard dies.
that's right up there for people like our fathers,
for
right?
Sure.
Like
that was an important moment, man.
Yeah, I mean, and that's for as long and storied as
Borshevsky.
A lot of the Toronto teams have been, they've been shy on those moments.
Yep. Nikolai Borshevsky goes there with the Gilmore one, probably. There's the Sundin ping, right, in overtime against the Senators. You know, there's little ones like that, but they just don't stand out. Like, to me, the drama of this Kawhi one, maybe only there with the Bautista one. That might be it in terms of memorable, you know, in our lifetime Toronto sports moments, right? And I think that's why so many people hate Toronto sports fans. You're talking about second round accomplishments, and I kind of get it. But this is what we have, people. Like, cut us some slack.
Yeah, cut us some goddamn slack, you know?
Yeah.
Tired of this hate.
We move into the third round. Raptors and Milwaukee Bucks. Fear the deer, man. What do you think? Because this is sort of where we were supposed to end up. It's first versus second in the East. I can't imagine that national television networks are super excited about a Final Four of Portland and Golden State and then Toronto and Milwaukee. But there's a ton of star power still in that with what Golden State brings, with, of course, Lillard in Portland and then Giannis versus Kawhi in the Toronto-Milwaukee series. But it's small market stuff happening here, at least in three out of four cities. you know, I think most of what I've seen so far is that Milwaukee wins this in a long series, but I'm anxious to get your take on kind of how you see this shaking loose.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, man, Milwaukee's a good team. Milwaukee is a very good team, and I'll say this. I mean, leaving the first round, if you had said, okay, Milwaukee beats up on Detroit, Toronto beats up on Orlando, if they meet in the finals for the Eastern Conference, this is going to be a knockdown, slug-em-out series. After that second round, there's obviously some tentative belief in Toronto at the moment, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of that hinges on the fact that after Kawhi, there hasn't been too much, right?
Right.
Pascal has been here one game, not there another. Kyle's been a good third scorer, very good on the floor, leading the offense and right. playing pretty well defensively, but not putting up many points. He hasn't been shooting that well, although he gets his points like usual. And after that, you know, that's pretty much it. Our bench, which was looked at as one of the strong suits for the entire
year. They only used like two guys in the last round.
And, you know, for everybody who, after about having a week of Marc Gasol, said, why do we give up three guys to get Marc Gasol? Oh, my God. This is why. The right. goddamn bench sucks when it comes to the playoffs.
Right?
You want stars in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And yeah, you got to play them 30 plus minutes. Doesn't matter how old they are.
Well, that's the thing. The way like, it is. I forgot to bring it up on the last one. Kawhi scores more points in a single series for the than anyone since 1993, when it was Michael Jordan versus, I think they said, Phoenix in the finals.
God,
he had 243 points in that series against Philadelphia. Michael Jordan in 93, I think they said it was 256 in seven games against Phoenix. So, you know, you're not going deep. You're depending on one guy an awful lot in a situation like that, right?
That's yeah. Now, mind you, I mean, catching up on a lot of the U.S. stations the last 2 days, trying to listen to what their opinions of Toronto are going in. They really are not sold on Toronto because of it's the Kawhi show yep. with a little Pascal.
Yep.
And all I could think of was for the last 4 years, you said you didn't want to count out LeBron James.
Uh-huh.
But all of a sudden it's Kawhi Leonard and it's
Yeah.
You know, the backup team isn't so good.
Right.
But the backup you know, the rest of the team for the Cleveland Cavaliers has been really shitty for yeah. years.
Sure.
But you always gave LeBron a chance. Now the Milwaukee Bucks have another guy in Giannis
yep.
who is, you know, the fight is going to be who is the best player in the East. The difference is they've had a lot better secondary players the last two rounds. And that being said, they played Boston. They got beat up the first game and then just absolutely annihilated them. I'm not sure how good of a team Boston really is after a yeah. sample size of about 100 games.
Yeah, you've been on that all year that you didn't yeah. believe in Boston, and it turned out to be pretty much bang on the nose, man.
That's and I mean, even when they got, you know, you expected Milwaukee to punch back mm-hmm. in game two.
Yep.
And then Boston just closed up shop. A guy like Kawhi, not Kawhi,
Kyrie.
Kyrie, thank you. You know, he just disappeared.
Yeah.
Off, like literally from the series, he just
right.
disappeared,
yeah.
which isn't what you expect out of a guy who said he left Cleveland to be the guy
yeah.
and to want to be the guy. And this looked very much like a team that knew there were some chemistry issues and were just waiting for an excuse to get to the Bahamas for the summer vacation. Right? This was a team that after game three was like, hey, where are you going? How long are you going for? We going to get on that banana boat again?
Yeah.
What are we doing? You know, this. They just wanted to be gone, right? And
yeah. yeah.
I mean, this happens, and we've seen this happen to teams before in playoffs in all sports. They were obviously good enough to be a number four seed going into the playoffs there, but – or sorry, number three seed. Sorry, they were number four.
Yeah, it was a four, yeah.
But they also took the number four seed because the Pacers lost their star player in Oladipo.
Right.
Right? Or else they aren't that number, right? They're not that seed. They're still back in fifth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how good are they? That was a fifth place team that got beat by the number one seed. So, should we take that and say, well, the Raptors are in a lot of trouble. No, the Raptors are in trouble because this is a very good team, and they match up very well against the Raptors all season long.
Yeah. And this is how it's supposed to go. It's a one. It's a one versus two, right? This is where we're supposed to be.
That's it. And it's not – I don't think it's going to be – I've heard some people on some betting websites say, you know, this is an easy 4-1 series. And I don't think it gets settled that quickly unless every game's decided by 3 points.
Right.
Seeing how the Raptors have been playing, you got to think they're going to get blown out at least one of these games just because they have consistently inconsistent at this point. I was able to get out and see one game against Milwaukee, and it was earlier in the season. It was before Marc Gasol, it was the one game Kawhi was played that we did lose against them, and they did take 3 of 4 against Toronto.
Yeah.
It was an interesting game because Toronto did its thing where they do, you know, they go 2 of 12 from 3-ball in the first half.
Yeah.
And go down 15, and of course Milwaukee had gone like 7 of 8 from 3-ball or something stupid. It averages out and it gets a little closer in the fourth quarter. But you never thought Toronto was close enough to win the game. All Milwaukee has done all playoffs is hit these insane 3 markers. I want to say it was Chris Middleton has been shooting something crazy like 47% from 3-ball, which is just like that's a video game number.
Yeah, for sure.
At that point. Toronto's perimeter defense has been outstanding all playoffs. Even the games they've lost, they've just been playing very, very hard, not giving up a lot of easy shots. We'll see how this translates because they did not play that tough against Milwaukee during the regular season, and nor do you have to in the regular season. But it's going to be interesting to see how they manage that and how they put the pressure on Giannis. Because Giannis has been at the line. I think there was one game he took 22 free throws against Boston. And at that point, you're like, for fuck's sakes. Like,
yeah.
What do you do as the other team? Like, I can't even try to play defense against this guy. And this guy's already the best player in the league.
Well, and like, I think one of the things that goes a little bit underreported as Toronto's doing their thing with Kawhi in terms of load management, hashtag load management. And you're kind of then looking at what did that mean for Toronto, who finished 2 wins back of Milwaukee, right? How many of the, you know, had Kawhi played a full season, which obviously wasn't going to happen, would they have finished ahead of those? You know, this is as evenly matched as it gets, right? In terms of these are the 2 teams in the East that should be playing for this title right now. And if Toronto wanted to whip the horses a little bit more through the regular season, get Kawhi going, you know, maybe they come up with those 2 wins and now they're the first place team. So
And just to add to that point, Matt, Milwaukee played balls to the wall all year long. They were in it every game. They didn't rest anybody. So, I mean, and again, Milwaukee is a team who has not had a first place regular season in who knows how long.
Right.
Probably back to like the 70s or something. So, you know, it meant a lot more to them to come first to a Toronto team that's been like, hey, we've first and second forever.
A pile of times, yeah.
And it's never fucking helped us once.
Right.
So let's maybe just chill out. Let's rest our players. Let's get everything in order. And see what happens because come playoff time, it doesn't matter that much to get that one extra game at home all the time.
Right. Do you have this then as a, you know, sort of a coin flip series or do you see a big advantage one way or another despite how close they were in the standings?
Given, and it has nothing to do with those 2 games again, like you said, in the standings. This has more to do with the fact that the Raptors bench has just absolutely disappeared quicker than the Marvel superheroes when Thanos snapped his fingers at this
now,
point.
I heard Boucher was ready to go. Is that going to make the difference for the Raptors?
Oh, God.
More seriously, Nick Nurse said on Tuesday that, as we've talked about earlier on this show, OG and Anobi at least a week away, and even then, you know, what do you want to expect out of that guy after missing pretty near 2 months, I guess, at this point, right?
Yeah.
You're not getting many reinforcements coming back.
No, and what do you do when you're a coach, right? Like, you put out your best players yep. as much as you can.
Yep.
You hope – they've been basically running a six-man lineup. You hope somebody outside of the big three show up. And if you do, you're probably – you got a game on your hands, right?
Yeah, yeah.
In game seven, it was Serge Ibaka who had the best game of his playoffs. He made some huge rebounds in that fourth quarter. That's exactly what made the difference, and that's what kept them not only in the game but got them in the lead going into the end
right.
of that game, which is what you wanted, obviously, right?
Absolutely.
If you can get a game where Norm Powell goes off for 12 points.
We the Norm.
If you have a game where Fred VanVleet, you know, isn't an absolute pumpkin, right? Like, these are guys that you've relied on for the last 2 years to put up 10 to 12 points a game, and all of a sudden they've just absolutely disappeared. And unless we're going to hear a week, you know, 2 weeks from now, hey, these guys are actually playing on torn shoulders.
Sure.
I don't know what to think or expect other than the length on Philadelphia gave them a lot of trouble.
Yep.
And they couldn't get a lot of shots off. And you saw this even with Kyle Lowry, who still, you know, had his way, at least with his handles. He could get through, and then as soon as he got into the paint, he would head check up, realize there was three big, huge seven-footers around him, and just keep dribbling around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the Raptors' point guards and guards in general are just not very tall.
No.
And they ended up in a lot of trouble with that. Milwaukee is a lengthy team, but not nearly as tall and lengthy as Philadelphia is. That's a big, big basketball team, yeah. even for basketball standards.
Right.
And it did give them a lot of trouble. And when you didn't have anybody hitting a three, that just allows that interior defense to continually to just close down on your cutters.
Yeah.
If they can find a way to hit those strokes, yeah, this is a coin flip series. Because then it's literally the two best teams in the East and two of the three best teams in the regular season for the NBA, just, you know, flip a coin and see who wins in seven games, and that's all it is.
Yeah.
If the Raptors have three guys, this is going to be over in 5 to 6 games. You know, because I just don't think we'll be able to handle Milwaukee. And again, I think their numbers are a little inflated given the two teams they were playing, and
yeah.
because there was so much garbage time in both series.
Well, yeah, and they're the first place team, so they're supposed to have
their numbers a bit.
They're supposed to have the easier road, right, as the first place team. So that's sort of how it goes. But you're right, that does inflate things a little bit, and it can paint things. You know, we've talked about now what the Raps have been through. Are they now playing at a higher intensity level? Coming in because they haven't just rolled over their teams, or are they emotionally spent? We talked about that coming out of the Leafs-Bruins series, right? What was that going to do to the Bruins? Are they fired up and firing on all cylinders because they just came out in seven and are ready to go? Or should they have been emotionally spent and a little let down? Turned out they just kept rolling, right? So can the Raptors do the same kind of thing? We'll see.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you this. Going back to the injury bug from Milwaukee, they've got everybody back pretty much as they do a quick scan of their roster. Nikola Mirotic has played every game in the playoffs. He did go into the playoffs with a hairline fracture of his thumb. So, you know, not optimal when you're a basketball player. He's a big three ball kind of assassin type player, which are always the types of guys who have great series and great games against the Raptors.
I don't want to give away my source, but I've also heard that Ralph Wiggum has lost his shin pad and they should hack the bone. I don't want to give anything away, but I've got that from a good source.
If Ralph Wiggum's in their starting 10, I'm feeling pretty good about this.
Hack the bone.
All of a sudden I'm calling Vegas like right now. Get the money on the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other one, big one for Milwaukee is Malcolm Brogdon, who had a plantar fascia injury. They never really released how bad it was, but he did miss a number of games at the end of the season.
He's played one game.
Yeah, right. He played one game. He didn't manage to play 17 minutes, so I got to assume he'll be at least, you know, he's 80% if he's playing that much.
Right.
But not having him and maybe being able to take advantage of the fact that his mobility might be a little bit less than it should be.
will definitely help the Raptors. Now, he's supposed to be their – they don't have a true, like, star point guard, but he now goes from their 1A to kind of like their 1C guy. Other than that, unfortunately for the Raptors, this team is healthy and hungry, except for the fact that let's hope they're a little bit maybe chilled on ice from waiting so long to play the Raptors.
Yeah, maybe you can steal one early, right?
Yeah, although the quote from Giannis today was,
yes, I saw.
We lost, you know, game one against Boston. We can't do that against Toronto. It'll be so much harder to come back.
Yep. I saw
that. I'm paraphrasing because he probably said it in Greek.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's essentially that's exactly what he said. You can afford to lose one to Boston early. You can't afford to lose one to Toronto early. So he's putting it out there that he's got, you know, some respect for what the Raptors are doing and that this is going to be a long and intense series. And I think that's what we're all looking for, man. I don't know. Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of shit weren't around in 2001 the last time the Raps had it. And I know they've been to the conference finals, but we all just fully expected to get eaten alive by LeBron. I felt back in 2001 as a completely uneducated loser that if they had gotten through Philly, they would have gone to the NBA finals. I thought they would have got pumped by the Lakers, but that had they gotten through that game, they were making it to the NBA finals. This is a little different, right? You don't necessarily have that confidence, not because the team's not good, but because you're matched up against another really good team. And I'm anxious to see how this is going to go, but I really feel like there's more of a buzz around the Raptors than maybe any time in franchise history. And like I said, that's with knowing that they've been to the conference final within the last couple of years. Having Kawhi changes everything. And I know how unpopular it was to trade DeMar, but that's what this did. You walk into so many series now feeling like we got the best guy, or at worst, the soft best guy, right? Like it's Kawhi versus Giannis, and we'll see, right? If it was DeMar versus Giannis, he's like, well, all right, this has been fun, right? Like,
yeah,
but we'll see.
You know, the confidence level of the fan base is totally different. And,
but I think,
you know,
even the buzz from the casual fan base, right, that is so much more on board than maybe it's ever been.
Sure. And I think that's fair. And I'll tell you this, you know, I told you off air, as that last play with four seconds came on and as it hit the first rim, everybody just kind of went, here we go again. Yep. Here comes OT.
Yeah.
But throughout the entire game, I never got the sense that the game was at risk. And now I'm not talking about what you're getting on the court. I'm talking about from the fans.
Right.
And that the breath you can hear in the fans and the calls, the cat calls you can hear from the fans. It never felt like anybody in the arena ever expected us to lose that game. And that is a significant difference anybody who's grown up a Leaf and Raptor
Blue Jay fan. Yeah. The Bruins are here. Where's the beer line?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, Leaf fans had already chalked up losing first round 3 weeks before the regular season ended.
Yeah.
Right? That was just the expectation. The difference was with this from the tip off, it was just a positive, like, all right, oh, Philadelphia's up by 5.
It's going to be a bumpy road, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Oh, Philadelphia's up by 2. No, we got this again. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Change up the lineup. It's all good.
Yeah.
There was just never that fear that we've seen in the past. So, again, going in against Milwaukee, much different series. But at the same time, I still think the Raptor fan, diehard and casual fan, should still be expecting to win.
Right.
Even though I still got Milwaukee in 6, that being said.
Yeah, but that's a reasonable prediction, man. When you have 1 versus 2, this is where we're supposed to be, right? And now you're the underdog, and maybe you can get a little energy out of that, right? This has been fun, right? And this didn't feel like, for somebody like me, who's a casual basketball guy, this didn't feel like the inevitable march to LeBron's dismissal, right?
Where fair.
whether or not we finished fourth or first or whatever, he didn't care. He was doing his thing in the regular season while we busted our dicks trying to get somewhere, and then he'll just decide when we're done, right? Like, this felt like this is different, right? We're going to have a tough-ass series against Milwaukee, two teams that, in terms of big market appeal, no one wants to see in the Eastern Final. And may the best team win, right? It's Giannis versus Kawhi. It's the Raps versus the Bucks. All that We the North versus Fear the Deer. This is going to be fun, man. I'm ready to do this. I'm all in. I'm excited. But it feels like what it's supposed to feel like. Two really good teams going at it instead of just this parade to the inevitable like it has in the past.
And I think there's a newness to it that feels really good.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There's definitely a newness, right?
We talked going into the first round, right, about how long it's been. Like, I think I had five or six names that could take you all the way back to, like, 91 or something stupid like that since, you know, one of Tim Duncan or Kobe or LeBron or whatever has been in the final. We're seeing something new here, and I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know if it'll shake loose for us, but I'm all in. Like, this is intriguing, and it's awesome. I'm so stoked for this, man, and if we don't come out on top, at least it didn't feel like this inevitable waste of time like it has in past years.
100%. I think everybody should be on board with that.
Yeah. What's going on the blog right now, man, over at Matt Does Physio on Instagram? What's going on right now? What might be coming up?
We had the Kevin Durant calf injury or Achilles injury that turned out to be a calf injury, sorry, that everybody thought was the Achilles injury. That went up at the end of last week as he got hurt at the end of game 5 against Houston, and he looks to be out for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
If you're a Golden State fan, you're hoping they get
I'm seeing today
easily.
On Twitter lots of people talking about he's already trying to recruit people to go to New York here next season. So I don't know if he's checked out for the rest or what's going to happen there. But well,
interesting on that point, the NBA draft lottery happened today.
Yep.
The big thing was there's always the rumor that the Knicks got Patrick Ewing in a fixed draft.
Frozen envelope.
I'm pretty sure there's like a 30 for 30 there somewhere about these guys, right?
For sure.
And so who did the Knicks send today to the draft? Nobody, Mr. Patrick Ewing.
Yeah.
I was joking around with some people at work today saying, you know what? You know, and for anybody who doesn't follow basketball in college basketball, Zion Williams is the best, or at least the biggest named probably first overall pick,
right?
Since LeBron James, definitely since Anthony Davis, but more probably LeBron James.
Yeah.
So this was a huge lottery draft, and I was joking around saying, "Wouldn't it be great if he just went to like Memphis?"
Sure.
And like just Phoenix. Totally prop that franchise up for like 20 years, and force the NBA to show Memphis Grizzly games on like primetime TV. Don't the Memphis Grizzlies get like the second pick?
Yeah.
So they came close. They went one up because the whole thing about the Knicks and a lot of teams hoping to get the first overall pick were maybe to make a trade for Zion for Anthony Davis and the Pelicans.
Yeah.
Well, guess what happened? The Pelicans got the first overall draft pick.
Oh, shit.
And now could theoretically put Anthony Davis with Zion Williams.
Wow.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. There was some chatter online about Kevin Durant saying he would only go if they got the pick and traded him for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
This seems to have changed everything
for sure.
And has set things up to be a wild summer in the NBA, as everybody loves, because no league does it better for players just randomly moving around.
Yeah, I didn't
to places
need to
you would
see
never expect.
Guys loading up and taking all their buddies to another team in our division. So I'm pretty happy with how that's shaken loose then. But
I did not want to see a superstar team in New York right now. No. That's for sure.
No, exactly.
So I'm happy to see that as well.
Anything else? Then that one's already
up.
What's
coming up today?
Yeah.
Just another one going up tonight, more likely tomorrow morning, about Pau Gasol,
yeah.
Who
technically plays for the Milwaukee Bucks, but only played a couple games, just about an injury that he had and why he isn't playing, and that has to do with a foot fracture. So got a little something going up for that just before the series kicks off tomorrow.
That's at
or Matt, tonight when everybody listens to this.
Yeah, exactly. That's this will be up on our fourth anniversary, so we'll talk about that. That's at Matt Does Physio on Instagram. He's at Matthew Lang on Twitter. As this is our fourth anniversary show, we're not going to go too in depth on any of this stuff, but I want to take a second to say thank you to a couple of different people. First and foremost, the guy on the line right now who maybe has the hardest job out of anybody on TCA. He normally gets the Texas like at 10 o'clock at night. He's like, can you believe Mike Babcock did whatever? And we do the Rage Pod. These sorts of late night shows. So Maddie's been around, as I mentioned, since the summer of 2015. We first got this going and has been, whether it's been on the mic or not, a steady contributor and supporter of TCA. So big thank you to you, May. You know, we've had some other people who've chipped in as we've gone along, whether it be Nate Sager, whether it be Jill McSween, whether it be Amy Burke. Lots of people who've lent their time to these shows and their support as well. And of course, just like Maddie, one of the guys who co-hosts a lot of these shows, Rob Christie, who was on the first one that I can't even listen to, as I mentioned earlier. It's so fucking brutal, both of us. And this is from somebody, like, I totally expect myself to sound like shit on these things. No one likes listening to themselves. But even Rob, who's always full of great opinions on these first episodes, if you visit tallcanaudio.com and go back and listen to the first couple audio whiplash, it's so stiff, it's so gross, it's unlistenable. And I absolutely recommend you check it out and rip us to high hell. I can't do it. I can't go back. It's so bad.
I was going to say, the selling job's amazing here.
Well, you know what? That's what it is, man, because I feel like we've come a long way, the group of us together, in terms of turning this into what it is and something that's at least tolerable. I had somebody, this would be a month or two ago now, who after Ian Mendez here of TSN had been on the show, he tweeted out that this was maybe, he'd done a bunch of different podcasts, but this was maybe the one he'd had the most fun on. So somebody listened and said, I'm going to give you guys, or someone tweeted back and said, I'm going to give you guys a chance. And I replied to say, we're highly tolerable. And he listened to an episode and replied back to me. He goes, I agree, very tolerable. Right? So that's really all I'm looking for in terms of high praise. But you know what? This has been so much fun, and I have no problem sending people back to our old episodes, the very first episodes at tallcanaudio.com, and you can rip on us, you can whatever. It's painful for me to listen to them, man. But this has been a ton of fun with a lot of people that I have a lot of respect for and who've given their time to all of this. So that's really all I have to say about it. We appreciate those of you, especially those of you who've been here since day one. But wherever you've jumped on, thank you for checking out Tall Can Audio, whether it be, you know, through a friend's recommendation or just something that's come up on your social media. It's been awesome to have you along with us, and the audience continues to grow and will continue to get better at this, God fucking willing. this has been fun, man. Like I said, you're the one who usually draws the short straw and has to get the late night shows, so appreciate your time as always, man.
Like I say, man, anytime. I've always appreciated being on. Always love coming on, talking sports. Always like getting the chirps on Twitter later on. Even better.
For sure.
makes it more fun for me.
For sure.
That's for sure.
So we have wrapped up 4 years of Tall Can Audio podcast here tonight with Maddie Lang. But as I said a few minutes ago, thanks as always to Jill McSween, Amy Burke, Rob Christie, Nate Sager, Steve McLean, who's done a few of these. We've had Ian Mendez. We've had Scott MacArthur. We've had AJ Jackiebeck. We've had a ton of guests. Of course, Maddie Lang, who's doing this here tonight. We will make sure on all our social media feeds, if you want to follow any of those people, you can do so. We'll make sure their stuff is posted there. But as we wrap up our fourth birthday show, I want to say thanks from Tall Can Audio. We'll see you on the next one.
We're not going to be fucking suck this year.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.